Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I'm very excited. I have a very special guest with me today, Lucia, who will be soul chatting with us about overcoming the feeling of emptiness. Lucia is a world-renowned sensation, former international Italian supermodel turned transformational speaker and author of 13 books. Her 25 years of inspiring work through conferences and workshops globally has been inspired throughout Italy and Africa. Lucia has been defined the Italian Louise Hay by prestigious media like Marie France Asia, The Times of India, and La Stampa, transforming audiences through her teachings, workshops, retreats, meditations, and books globally through overcoming limiting beliefs and fears to live a whole new life. I'm so excited, Lucia. Thank you so much for being here and welcome to Found Family.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. It's so exciting to be here and thank you for inviting me.
Of course. I'm really looking forward to just hearing more about the work that you've been doing and again, just talking to our listeners about, you know, overcoming this feeling of emptiness. So just to kind of start off the conversation, when did you experience hitting rock bottom and what sensations did you feel in both your mind and your body?
So I think the worst time that I really hit rock bottom was when I was still modeling. So apparently I had it all. I had a very, successful career in modeling. I was living in Milan, but traveling the world, you know, doing fashion shows all over the world, basically. I was married to a dashing man who was also a model. All our friends were in the fashion industry, basically. I was living in a beautiful house, but I started feeling this feeling of emptiness, this feeling of, you know, like my life had no meaning. And I went into a pretty bad depression. And of course, when I spoke to my friends, you know, and asked for help, all I would receive was, there's something wrong with you. What's wrong with you? Get some help, you know, because of course they couldn't understand, you know, why I was going through all this. So to make a long story short, at the beginning, I tried to numb that pain. I tried to, you know, work more, travel more, party more, but of course, none of that helped. So at the end, I really decided to do the only thing that made sense, which was to leave everything behind. Mm-hmm. So, and that was when I really hit rock bottom, because in my heart, I felt that what I really wanted, that my dream was really to be a spiritual coach, to help people find their true calling, and that was the path that I had to do myself, that I had to walk myself. So that's why I left everything. I moved back to Bologna, my hometown. I left my marriage. I left my beautiful home to my ex-husband. In my mind, the idea was, okay, I will leave everything behind and I will start, you know, my new career. But between leaving everything behind and starting my new career, there was a huge gap of time. I mean, because it was not easy to start a new career like this. And that's where I really hit rock bottom. And I remember it was Christmas Eve in my hometown, Bologna. And I went outside, and at that point in time, I was totally alone. I mean, I had left my marriage, as I said, and I really didn't have that many friends, because all my friends were in the fashion industry and all my friends you know, had abandoned me because they thought that I'd gone crazy. So I was there alone on the Christmas Eve, and all I could see around me were happy people, happy couples, you know, celebrating Christmas. And I was there alone, almost broke, because it is true that as a model, I had earned a lot of money, but my savings were dwindling down very fast. So, and I had really no, you know, new income for my future. And so I started doubting myself, you know, like I started having thoughts like, had God abandoned me too? Had I really gone crazy? Was there really something wrong about me? Maybe I'd taken the wrong decision. Maybe I had ruined my life, you know. And the worst thing is that I had done that to myself. I there was nobody else to blame for this. And that was really when I mean, in a way, I was starting to lose hope. And I think that that's a characteristic of, you know, hitting rock bottom, is that, you know, you start to losing hope.
Wow, I can really feel your heart, and thank you so much for sharing your story. That is for our listeners, and even for myself, as I'm listening to you and feeling as though I was, you know, there with you, and it's when someone hits their own rock bottom as well, it's such a place of being able to really empathize and see that person at eye level, you know. And first and foremost, that is such a brave thing that you did. I can't even imagine how challenging that must have been to leave something like that behind. And it wasn't just one thing, it was several things. That's, you know, again, like it's very brave, but when we feel this, as you were describing, this like calling, you know, it's almost as if even in the midst of despair and in the midst of confusion, there was this voice inside that was like, this is the right thing to do. Is that kind of what you were feeling deep down?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was this voice, which in a way, if I look at it from a rational point of view, it made no sense, you know,
right.
because I already had a very good career, very good earnings, and, you know, my life was pretty good. I mean, so this voice made no sense, but still it was there. And it got louder and louder. And so I couldn't do anything else but to follow it. And that's why I, in a way, expected things to be much easier than they were, because I thought, okay, I'll follow this voice, and then when I follow this voice, you know, like it's like jumping in the void, you know, and when I jump, everything will be fine, or everything will be easy, because all I have to do at this point is follow the voice. But what I found is that things were not that easy. And that was, I mean, it was already difficult, you know, to leave my marriage and my comfort zone and everything. But finding myself alone with no support and et cetera was what really dragged me down. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And what you just said really resonated with me. When you said, you know, I thought things were going to be easier. And I can just think back to like 3.5 years ago when I hit my personal rock bottom, and I was, you know, going through a lot of things in my personal life. I had just, you know, sort of shared with my family the fact that I was dating a girl at the time. And I just, you know, was starting to feel like I was becoming more me. And when things, you know, blew up in my face because my family was trying to, you know, push religion and the guilt and the shame and the fear into me, I broke down, and I had to keep everyone at arm's length. And I was like, am I sinning? Am I, you know, is this something that, you know, I shouldn't be doing? Was I wrong to do X, Y, sort of like imploded. And I was extremely depressed. That was when, you know, a lot of what I was feeling and experiencing at the time just felt like it was crashing down. But there was this inner voice inside of me as well that felt like, you know what, you are going through these things to eventually help people who are going through them in the, you know, too. And like, what helped me, like being brave and just, you know, there was a period of time as well, become more me. And in that time period, I was reading a lot of self-help books, listening to mantras. There were a lot of like childhood traumas as well that I had to really kind of like face head on. But I felt like for the first time, I was looking at myself in the mirror, introducing myself to me for the first time. And all of these things were like the steps that helped me overcome like the anxiety and the depression that I was going through. And now, you know, that now looking back, I'm like, okay, it wasn't easy, but the things that I had to go through made me stronger and made me also realize why I even went through those things, you know? So, but it's so hard. And I understand like from, you know, when you're going through the storm, it's like almost impossible to see what's, you know, on the other side. And I think that in a way, in a similar way, and I know you kind of touched upon this just briefly about, you know, like the people in your life, but when we make big changes like this in our lives, oftentimes the people that we thought would support us don't. And that's a really big surprise. How did you cope with leaving your old life behind and really being all alone?
Yeah, that was a tough one. Because as you said, in a way, you expect your friends or your beloved to support you. But the way I coped without, you know, getting resentful towards them is the thought that they just couldn't understand me. Well, I also had a hard time understanding myself.
Right.
But in a way, you know, I was feeling this voice, this desire, I had this dream inside myself. So, and that is what, you know, I followed. But they didn't have this dream inside themselves. And so, and they couldn't see my dream. And so for them, it just made no sense. And it's like, you know, the idea I have, and it happened in other occasions in my life, you know, where people next to me didn't support me in some projects or in some other, not as bad as this one, okay, but in other moments, difficult moments in my life. And the idea that I keep in my mind in order to not become resentful and keep the compassion within my heart is, it's like they are blind, okay? If a blind person hits you with his walking stick, you don't get angry because, of course, he's not doing it on purpose, you know? And those people were emotionally blind, were blind to my dream, were blind to my soul.
Wow.
Because there was no way they could, you know, see it. And so see my dream and understand my soul. And so they didn't do it on purpose. They just were, you know, concerned about me. So they expressed it in a harsh way, maybe, like get some help. But it was not, they were not mean. That's what I mean, you know. They didn't want to harm me. They just wanted to help, and they didn't know what to do. And probably this change was too much for them. So in a way, they were also faced with their own vulnerability, in a way. So maybe they also had some dreams, of other kinds of dreams in their soul, in their heart, which they didn't pursue. And seeing me, you know, just leaving everything behind was too much for them because it was, you know, a kind of confrontation or forced them to confront their own vulnerability, their own dreams, their own fears, their own, you know, lack of courage, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So when I shifted the perspective and I stopped thinking, you know, putting myself at the center of the world, of their world, and thinking they did it against me, they were mean, they didn't support me, and I just see them as, you know, they did the best they could, but they didn't have the resources, the ability, they couldn't see. And so that really helped me.
Wow.
I'm sitting here with goosebumps right now, because just that visual and that really powerful metaphor of what you just said about, you know, a blind person, if they, you know, accidentally hit you with their walking stick, it's not, you know, something that they meant to do on purpose. They just, you know, that's how they're able to move forward. That's really powerful, because what you also said in terms of like shifting your mindset, it's not always easy to shift your mindset and see things through the eyes of love and compassion when something that you really strongly believe in is not well received, or if someone that you really care about or love in your life doesn't see or accept what it is that you want to do. But to be able to see through this lens that they were emotionally blind, I think that is just, there's so much truth and there's so much power in that statement, because I really think that, you know, for everyone, you know, myself included, for our listeners, to be able to sort of challenge ourselves to start looking at things through that lens, there's so much goodness that can come out of it. And even, you know, in like the case that I was saying before about having had like childhood traumas and things, I recently learned that my mom has narcissistic personality disorder. And although it's very empowering to learn this, there was a sense, you know, many, many years growing up with this like resentment and anger, like, well, why are you treating me this way? Why are you teaching me these things that are actually harming me? And to be able to see, you know, through that lens and have that mindset shift of like, well, she's blinded by her own traumas and the things that she went through in her life. And this is just her way of acting and treating me based on how she was treated and how she acted. There is so much love and compassion, and it really does remove that toxic out of your own mind and heart to look at that person with love and compassion and feel less offended and hurt. You know, it's not like, it's not a personal attack. It's not something that, you know, we need to sit and, you know, overthink or spend time and energy worrying about, because everyone, you know, is on a different path, and sometimes people will see it. And that's why, you know, I call these conversations soul chats, is because it's a way for two people, you know, vibrating on that same frequency, who have the same goals, have the same vision, and who are woke, you know, to kind of have conversations where we can see one another's souls and be able to speak to it and embrace it and love it. And, you know, it's taken me some time as well to be like, it's okay for, you know, other people who don't understand what I'm looking to do or understand what I'm, you know, what I have in my heart. But when that voice is there, that flame inside of you is there, you have to listen to it and you have to pursue it. So I think that is just like so beautiful, the way that you describe that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, definitely. And also it tells us not to fall into the victim role, because it's so easy, you know. In those moments, you are already, let's say, not at your best. You are already weak, and in a way, you're already vulnerable. And it's so easy to fall into the victim trap, you know, like, oh, nobody helped you. Oh, even my husband, my partner, or my best friend, my family didn't support me. They criticized me, et cetera, and then you start telling yourself those stories, and you fall down the rabbit hole, you know, more and more into the victim role. And of course, being the victim, it doesn't help you to rise up. It doesn't definitely give you power at all.
Right. And I'm sure that now that you are living your truth and you are in this, that you are also connecting with people who are now in alignment with what you're seeing and feel what you're feeling. Is that, would you say that that's pretty accurate?
Absolutely. And another interesting thing happened is that quite a few, I don't say honestly, not everybody, but quite a big number of my friends at the time, you know, people in the fashion industry, colleagues, etc., and so on and so forth, during these years, because this you know, episode happened like more than 25 years ago. So over the years, a lot of them came to my workshop.
How about that?
And so this is, I mean, it's nice, you know, to meet those friends again at another level.
At another level.
Some others didn't come to my workshops, but maybe read my books, or, I mean, just to give you an example, I had the occasion of meeting two of my colleagues, ex-colleagues, who are now leading a radio show in Italy, one of the major radio shows in Italy. And they invited me, when one of my books was releasing, they invited me to join them in the radio show.
Congrats,
it was
that's
so
awesome.
Nice. Yeah, and because we talked, you know, about our old times, but from a totally, we connected from a totally different point of view, from you know, a deeper connection, from a deeper, you know, relationship, and it was so nice. So, you know, when you keep your heart open, I think that over the years, I'm not saying the next day, okay, but over the years, in my experience, beautiful things happen.
That's so true. And even, you know, I agree and can attest that even since all the things that I went through and that rock bottom that I had experienced 3 years ago, you know, I'm now in a really beautiful relationship with a man who I am deeply in love with, and he fully understands and supports me and unconditionally sees my soul and supports what I'm doing. And, you know, he's part of the biggest reason why I've actually finally taken the next step to becoming a life coach. And this is something that I've been wanting for the last 10 years. And he's really just given me, again, thank you. Yeah. So much like love and support and just, you know, the friends that I have that I consider to be like soul sisters, the amount of love and support that they've given me in that regard, it's incredible. And so I think that, you know, having these kinds of experiences where there's, you know, there are people or things, et cetera, that might energetically drain us or take us on a different level. If we're able to push through and still go after the things that we know our spirits and our souls are here to do, then either, as you said, we're able to meet those people, the same people on a different level, or the universe brings, well, I guess I should say, or the universe brings us new people who are at the same level without us needing to even, you know, go back or, you know, revisit things or anything like that. And it's just, that's something to be celebrated. That is just like such a beautiful thing. This all makes my heart sing. And so, you know, did you also, when you really understood and saw that you made the right decision to enter into this new career and life path, did you still feel alone, or did you start to feel more in alignment with this?
Yeah, well, there was a I would say a changing moment, you know, and it was when I realized I was focusing on the wrong coaching question, just since you just mentioned life coaching. So, because I was focusing on the cost I was paying to follow my dreams, but I was not focusing on the cost I would have paid if I had stayed in a situation that did not represent me.
Wow.
So, that was, you know, a shifting moment. And with that came the realization that our dreams are a gift from God, and realizing or doing everything, you know, in order to realize our dreams is our way of returning the favor to God. So that was when it dawned on me that I had made the right decision. And that was also when I stopped feeling alone, because in some way I felt, you know, God, I mean, I'm talking about God, but it could be, I give this, you know, name to the universe. It could be, you know, the light, the Buddha, Allah, it doesn't matter, but a higher power helping me, supporting me. So I was still, you know, it took me a while to make new friends, to because if I look at my life now, everyone in my life, my husband, my friends, I mean, even my mother, she came to quite a few of my workshops. So, you know, everybody in my life is either, you know, is on their personal development path. Either come to my workshop, but even it doesn't have to be my workshop, but anyway, you know, any kind of personal development path. So now I am in this situation, and I think it's fantastic. But before getting to this situation, it took me a while. So what the first shift was the feeling that I was not alone, not because I had so many people around me supporting me, but because I had God or spirit supporting me.
Wow, that's beautiful. And that is such an incredible moment when you really, again, feel inside of you, like at your core, that you're supported. Then everything else just seems like so little in comparison, because you know that there is this bigger, higher power. And my brother had actually showed me this like picture of a lion, and it basically, the message was saying, you know, that when people say like, I'm not, you know, I was lost and I found myself, the whole message in this image of this lion that he sent me was basically like, you were never lost. You didn't find yourself. You weren't like a dollar bill, like in a pocket. You returned to yourself. You remembered your power. You remembered who you were. And I saw that, you know, as I was reading this and that image of the lion, it was like in this beautiful ray of sunshine. There are so many meanings to that. Again, either you put it to God, the universe, to spirit, you know, whatever it is that you call it. But there is this sense of we are these powerful beings who, you know, do have an assignment, and there is so much that we, you know, return to. We're not like finding ourselves. And it was a very different kind of perspective. But again, it was sort of like that idea of shifting mindset to see it as I was not lost. I just forgot, you know, who I was, and it's returning to that power. So that is like, again, just very, very, very beautiful. And I think this is a really great segue into the next question. When, what would you say to someone who, as they're listening right now, feels this tug at their heart and in their spirit to do something greater than the work that they're doing right now, but they don't know what to do? How can they overcome this feeling of emptiness?
So in my experience, at least, there are two situations. One situation is that there are people who feel the desire to do something, but they have no clue what it may be. You know, they feel the desire to live a different life, but they have no clarity about which kind of life they would like to lead.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, for those people, the first thing is to gain clarity. Because if we don't know where we are going, it's difficult to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's not clarity in details, but at least clarity about the direction they want to go to. And in order to do that, some good coaching questions are like, what makes your heart beat faster? What makes your eyes go brighter? What would you do even if you were not paid, for example?
That's a big one.
Yeah. What is your passion? Or, because I also have it all those years, I've had people answering me, I have no passions, for example. You know, because of course, when you stop dreaming and you do it for a while, then it's like your muscle of you know, of creativity, of dreams is like not used to not exercise. So in that sense, another good coaching question is, okay, what were your dreams when you were a child? What did you like to do when you were a child? Because normally our big passions stays the same during the years. And so as we grow up. So those are a few very useful coaching questions or, you know, directions that I would advise people to explore. Then there is another possibility, and the other possibility is people have clarity on what they want. Like me, when in my example, in my life, at the beginning, I would say to myself, I don't know why I'm depressed. I don't know what I want to do, but I was lying to myself, because in reality, if I looked deep inside myself, I knew. I just, you know, didn't have the courage to express it even to myself. So lots of people, actually, when they say they don't have clarity, it's because they don't dare to, you know, to express this passion, even to themselves. So, but let's say that there are this second area of people, the second possibility, you know, people who have clarity, but it's too much a big step, you know. They like, it would mean to revolutionize their own life. So in this case, there are two pieces of advice, or, you know, my two pennies are, first of all, again, another coaching question, which is, if you were not afraid, what would you do? Because, you know, many times fear blocks us, and blocks us to a point where we see everything dark. We see no possibilities. If we are able to lift that fog of fear, then we start seeing, you know, hints of our next steps. And that is the first possibility. The other thing would be to start small. Instead of, you know, revolutionizing your own life, to start evolving, you know, one step at a time. Maybe you don't get rid of your job right now 100%. Maybe you just diminish a little bit, and then you, on your spare time, on your free time, you start growing your coaching business. This is just an example, you know. This is another possibility, because when you think, you know, of taking a big step, it takes a huge leap of faith, and it's not easy. But if you make it smaller, then it's easy, and then another step, another step, another step, and you find, you know, yourself with your new future, with your new life, without even realizing. Or, yes, I mean, it takes some effort anyway, but, you know, it's an easier path. So it could be one or the other, or the two combined. Of course, something that I would really would like to say is that, I mean, if we plan to live below our capacities, it's a sure recipe to be unhappy for our own life. So this is something very important to keep in mind. So most of the times we want to play it safe, but it also means to play to be unhappy for our whole life. So this is another, you know, idea to keep in mind.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, truth bombs that, you know, when someone hears it at first, it could be like, ouch, that hurts a little bit. But I personally think, And I think this because I've experienced it and I've heard this from people around me, that when something you hear, like a truth bomb like that, hurts just a little bit, it's because you know it's true, and you know that that's what's stopping you from living out what you want to do. Because it is so much easier, as we've been talking about, it is so much easier to not do anything and to play the victim card and to stay stuck. Because, you know, things that I'm learning as I've been more involved in the mental health community is that the mind actually needs to work double time to think positive thoughts. So it's easier to stay hung up on the negative. It's easier to think negative thoughts. And so for people who don't, you know, want to put in the time and the energy and the effort and the work to make their dreams become a reality and to live their truth, they sit back and allow that victim card to be played multiple scenarios. So my challenge for our listeners is that if hearing that truth bomb made you, you know, stung a little bit and made you think like, ooh, I don't like hearing that, I think that that's when, you know, rewind this episode and listen to her coaching questions and really take out a notebook and a pen and start writing down those answers. You know, what would you do if you weren't paid for something? What makes you happy? You know, what, those are the questions that will help to bring the clarity and the self-awareness. And I'm sitting here like laughing at myself too, because again, I mean, it took me 10 years to finally say yes to doing life coaching full time, because I kept thinking there's other life coaches out there who are saying and doing the things that I would want to be doing. Why would I enter into the space and do the same thing everybody else is doing? You know, look at Tony Robbins, Rachel Hollis, Gabby Bernstein. I always bring up those names because those are people that I've looked up to. And there's a sense of like, oh my God, they're so far along. How can I even get there? And it goes right back to what you just said about when we look at this like massive step, you know, like radically changing something in our lives and taking a huge step in another direction. That's like an accountant all of a sudden deciding to go become, you know, the next like musician. And it's like you have to literally change so much to make such a big change. But as you were sharing, you know, I've heard this term like bite-sized, is that if we take things in bite-sized, you know, and we start chipping away at things little by little, we're moving forward in the right direction. We're moving that needle forward. And to your point, you know, we will wake up. And again, it's not something that happens in a day. You know, this could take a few months, a few years, you know, depending on how much inner passion, I think, like when that fire is really burning and you're like, you know what, instead of watching Netflix for an hour, I'm going to write my book. Or instead of, you know, going out and hanging out with a friend who I just saw last week, I'm going to stay home and start putting together my business proposal. You know, I'm looking at even books as an example of bite size. I've read 6 books already, and I don't read at home. I only read on the subways when I'm commuting into the city or going to my freelance job, and I'll only get in, you know, maybe 20 pages a day, but those 20 pages have led me to read 6 books already. And so that mindset shift that I even took with my own coaching business is what helped me move that needle forward, where I'm like, okay, you know what? As you said, like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. If I keep procrastinating and making excuses, then I'm never going to get this done. And I'm unhappy. My soul literally feels empty and like, you know, just not fulfilled unless I'm doing these things, having these soul chats, making connections, and doing these types of work in the world. So I celebrate you. I honor you. This is like an incredible message to be sharing, and I'm really thankful for what you just shared.
thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's what I use with myself, is what I teach to my students in my workshops and my books, and I saw that. I mean, over those 25, almost 30 years, actually, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Absolutely. And as we are wrapping up our conversation, again, I know that we kind of touched upon these things throughout the whole episode, but just as kind of that, you know, the punch at the end, what can our listeners who right now may be at their rock bottom find comfort, you know, how can they find comfort and direction to live, you know, to find more wholeness within themselves?
Yeah, so there are a few things. The first thing is to avoid, you know, as we touched on that, to avoid personalizing everything. So because when we are at rock bottom, we tend to think we are wrong, or there's something wrong with us or with our life. And so instead, no, this is actually a trap. So it's actually something that happened, but it's not our fault, you know, it's part of human experience. I think, you know, in the end, I think that rock bottom can teach you lessons that mountain top cannot teach you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a moment in your life. And this leads me to the second point, which is avoid making, you know, the situation permanent. It's just a moment in our life. It's not forever. And actually,
yes,
the darkest moment, even in the night, the darkest moment, the darkest hour is the hour before dawn. So hang on and just wait and be patient and, you know, and wait for dawn to arrive. and the third part is avoid making this situation pervasive. What I mean is, even if I look at my experience, you know, I was alone, okay, and I was, you know, losing a lot of money, okay, but I was healthy, okay.
Mm.
So it was not horrible on 360 degrees.
Mm.
It was just two areas of my life. And normally it is like that. For most people, it's one area of their life, two areas, three areas, but not the whole life, okay?
Mm.
So the recipe, and by the way, these three P, I speak about those in my book, A Whole New Life, is actually the recipe for, you know, like going again down and down and down in the rabbit hole. Whereas what we should do is really to think, okay, it's normal, it's not, I don't have anything wrong, I'm not wrong, it's just a moment in my life, and it will end, you know. Step by step, I will get out of it. So it's really understanding that it's just a moment in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And another good coaching question is, what's in it for me? Because normally we ask, you know, why me? Why this happened to me? And then
it's
the victim question. And it's a wrong question. So the right coaching question would be, what's in it for me? How can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? What's the gift in it from me?
Mm-hmm.
Because by asking this question, we are forced to answer with our spiritual eyes, with our spiritual mind, with our spiritual heart, and not just with our mind, you know. So this is another part, and another part would be to develop faith. Know that life supports us. Know that life is a continuous evolution towards the best version of ourselves.
Mm.
And in order to get there, sometimes we need to hit rock bottom. It may be once in a life, it may be more than once, but, you know, it's part of our training, our initiation, in a way, spiritual initiation.
I love that. That's such a great visual, because I've been sharing that with people too. I'm like, yeah, I was in boot camp. I was in training. I was in boot camp. And to be able to, again, like take that, the things that we're dealing with that are hard, that are confusing, that are, you know, causing stress and anxiety, causing depression. It's part of the training. They are temporary. You know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. And I celebrate that. That is 100%. Yes, yes, yes. I'm feeling empowered and motivated already. So thank you. I'm sure our listeners are as well. Fantastic. Well, I know Lucia just mentioned the three P's that she has in one of her books. So be sure to check out the information in the description of this podcast episode. I'm going to have her Twitter, which you can find her at Lucia Bless You, and then her website, luciagiovanni.com, where you can see all of the different books that she has written, as well as more about her coaching practice, her background. I watched a video on your website, which kind of shared a little bit more about your story, and there were beautiful visuals and everything. So please go show her some love, support her. I'm definitely going to be getting one of your books too. Something that I would love to do on my podcast is actually to have like book clubs. So I would love to, you know, do a book club on one of your books and love to have you back to feature the author. So, we can talk, you know, talk more about that. But, you know, again, this truly was such an honor, I feel so privileged to be able to speak with you and soul chat about all of these things. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Actually, it was such an honor and a privilege to talk to you. And I hope to be able to be back to your podcast. And by the way, if the listeners go to my website, luciagiovannini.com, they can also download for free the 5 days self-love revolution. Because, I mean, we haven't touched on, you know, self-esteem and self-love, but of course that is another very important point. Mm-hmm. And most of our problems are due to a lack of self-love and self-esteem, true self-esteem. So, yeah.
Definitely. And I'll have that link too. And I'm now like sitting here embarrassed hearing you saying your name as a fellow Italian. And I'm like, I should have pronounced your name properly. And I'm like looking at this little screen. I'm like, oh no, but the correct spelling will be in the description. So please be sure to check that out. All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you again so much. It's been such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.